for is not an easy thing to do, right? We work hard. We work hard, and the things that we have, our garages that are full of stuff, we're looking at it, and when it comes garage sale time, you're like, oh, yeah, no, I don't want to get rid of that. No, you guys know what I'm talking about. I would venture to say that many of us border on the hoarding side, okay? Just border. We're like tiptoeing right on the line, okay? But you look at the circumstance and you say, okay, I have a whole garage full of stuff, and I look in the rafters. It's in the rafters. It's on the floor. It's on the walls. It's hanging on the walls. It's on shelves. It's in cabinets. It's all over the place, right? Okay, but those are our things. But let's just suppose for a second that you come to a place where you're saying, wow, I want to let go of some of this. I want to let go of that. We tend to fear those possessions will fall into the hands of someone who will not appreciate them. Have you ever felt that before? You're giving something away. You're like, okay, but this is how I took care of it, okay? Because I made sure that I washed it and I oiled it and I did all of these things and I polished it up and I did this. But I want you to have this. But if I give this to you, I want you to understand how important this is to me. And the other person's looking back at you, and they're going, it's a dish. Okay? It's a dish. But sometimes we're so attached to those things that we have this fear of giving up control. We fear that the person that we're giving it to might take it for granted. I just tuck it in the garage with all my other stuff. We fear that people may squander what we give. You see, it's hard to outgrow that toddler mentality, isn't it? Fine, me. Even as adults, we hesitate when it comes to sharing because it's giving up control. And that's just one of the challenges. That's just one. Next thing, there's a risk of not being rewarded. There's a risk when we give that we won't be rewarded. Let's just suppose that you were to give generously to a cause or a project and nobody stops to say thank you. Ugh. That's like a knife in the heart, isn't it? Like, man, what's the deal? I gave and I gave and I gave. And nobody can say thank you? That's incredible. So let's suppose you pour out your heart, you give generously, and there's no recognition, no credit where credit is due, no thank you, nothing. Is that okay? Is that okay? Is it really okay for that to happen? See, many of us act out of fear because our kindness and generosity won't be recognized. When I was a young Christian, I was going to this church. I had just gotten saved, and I was like, man, I want to just do something for God. I want to do something. So I was like, what can I do? And I was going to this church where you walk up the front path, and there was a patio that was on this side, right? Big patio. And it was a mess, totally overgrown with bushes, and the bricks that made up the patio were all bumpy and all over the place. And then there was a cross that was on the wall that was like this wooden cross, kind of like this, almost the same size, right? And it had been sun faded, and the paint was peeling, everything was coming apart. And I had decided, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy some really good paint. I'm going to sand down that cross. I'm going to make it look beautiful. And then I'm going to come in and I'm going to trim all of the bushes. I'm going to make this place some place where people would say, I want to hang out there. I got down on my hands and knees for 2 days, and I fixed every brick so that when you walked out there, you're like, whoa. So, what happens? So I do all of that work, right? 2 days worth of labor, hands and knees, sweating, sanding, painting, trimming, cutting, disposing of all of that stuff, right? And so the next Sunday comes, and I'm standing by the patio as people are walking up. I'm going, this is going to be awesome. Okay, this is going to be so good. And as people are kind of coming up, they're like, hi, hi. I'm like, hi. Hi, yeah, hi. Hi, over here. Yeah, right here. Oh, yeah. Look it. Look. People walk by over and over and over and over again and said nothing. So the next week I come back and I go, surely somebody will be recognizing it this week. So I come back out here again and I go, okay, here we go. People are coming. I'm standing right over here. Whew, take a deep breath. Yeah. Hi. Good morning. Wow. What a lovely morning to spend on the patio. Yes. If only there were coffee and donuts out here, this would be lovely. I mean, a place that you wouldn't want to miss, right? Nobody noticed. Nobody noticed. And so here I was going, what kind of church is this? These people don't even get it. I worked my tail off to get this free so that the people could enjoy it. Nobody said anything. And then finally, like 3 weeks later, the pastor comes over and goes, hey, who did this? And I was like, okay. It was a painful reminder that I needed to figure out who I was working for. Was I looking for the recognition of people? Was I doing it for them? Yeah, partially. However, I was really doing that for God. I was doing that. I didn't receive the recognition for the gift that I had given, and it kind of freaked me out. That's why I say there is this fear that when we give or when we serve or when we use our talents or our time that somebody's not going to notice. And the question is that really the point? Is that the point that we're going for? Man, God, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Making sure that I'm recognized for the things that I give. See, that's not the way it should be. We need to kind of roll back that thinking and to understand that, hey, I don't need to be recognized. What I need to do is I need to say, did this please the Lord? Did this please God in my giving of this? Because if it did, and it made his house look better, if I'm looking at it, I'm going, you know, God, this was for you. I was just a young Christian. I had no idea. I walked away from that kind of going, huh, man, nobody said anything. But is that really the point? The recognition is inconsequential. It's simply not the point. So, that's the second danger. There's also another danger in not making a difference. Here's one of the chief excuses for not giving, not serving, not sacrificing, and it is we're fearing that we won't make a difference. You know, people say, well, I don't have much to give. So I just don't give. Or I don't have many talents. So I just don't serve because I don't really do anything that well. I mean, when it comes to church, you kind of think, well, what is there to do around here, really? I mean, if I was to serve, I mean, I can cut some vegetables, can I? Yeah, I guess I could do that. Maybe I could sweep some floors. Yeah, I could probably do that. Maybe I could help clean up the parking lot. Yeah. There's trees that need to be trimmed around here. Yeah, those happen too. I mean, there are a lot of things that people say in serving. Man, I just don't know if I can make a difference. Let me just tell you that you can. Let me just tell you that small things like that, when we're willing to sacrifice and give, whether it be in our finances, if we're willing to say, God, I'm willing to tithe to you. I'm willing to give this money because I know that, God, that you have a principle of multiplication. How about my influence and my time, my talents, my treasure, all of those things? God has the ability to multiply those things. That's why I pray about it every week. God, multiply these funds so that we can continue to do the work that you've called us to do. This is an important part. But we fear that it won't make a difference. Let me remind you of something. This is in the New Testament. Ready? Do you remember when Jesus was confronted with a group of over 5,000 hungry people? Do you remember what happened? What happened? There was a little boy on the hillside. And all the disciples are going, send them home, Jesus, because we can't even begin to think about feeding. We don't have money. We're not going to go down into town and buy a bunch of bread. What are we going to do? Buy a bunch of fish? What is going to happen? So what does Jesus do? He says, that little boy looks like he has a lunchbox over there. Let's check that out. So the boy comes over. Jesus says, so what'd you bring to snack on today? And he says, well, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus is like, really? That's kind of interesting. So, what should we do with this? Disciples, and they're like, that's barely a snack just for me. Even one of them tested Jesus and said, Jesus, really? What's going to happen here? So Jesus, what he does is he takes those things and he prays for them. And all of a sudden, the basket that's passed, It gets to the end of the aisle. Hand it off to the next person. Full again. Oh, then the fish is going on over here. Hey, this section gets bread, this section gets fish. Let's switch them up after we get through. The fish is passed down the aisle, gets to the end, and the person's going, oh, there's probably not any left for me. They get the basket, and they're like, here it is. It's full again. You see, that's the principle of godly multiplication, because what he does is he says, you think what you have won't make a difference, but it will. It'll make a difference. So it's important for us to understand this principle here. Little is much when it comes to God being in it. Little is much. It's our faithfulness in giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures that is so important. It's not about the amount or the quantity. It's about the attitude and the quality. That's a major difference. So, okay, so have you noticed anything that's similar in these three dangers? Anything that's similar? It's all about me. You got it, Cindy. All of those fears are based right here. It's important for us to be able to look at this and say, wow, this shouldn't come down to how I feel or the insecurities that I have. Most of the reasons that we just discussed for not being a giver, most of those are kind of like the little toddlers. They're kind of like, fine, me. As adults, it's hard for us to even roll back that. So what I want to do is I want to encourage you here this morning, because I think that if we take a different view of our resources, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. But you see, here's the tough part, is that sometimes, not sometimes, I think this happens most of the time, when people look at church, they're like, see, all they want is money. It's all they ever want. Nobody likes a greedy church, right? Nobody likes that. Okay, so what if I went outside, right, and I went up and I got on a ladder and I changed one word in our church name? So it would read something like this. You look outside, you drive down the street, you pull up, and it says, Enron Life Church. How many people do you think would be here the next Sunday? Enron Life Church. Just that name itself kind of spells greed. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what God would do with people who are willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to give, I'm willing to sacrifice in this, because this is what I believe. And I believe it's a responsibility to be able to say, God, I want to serve you, and I have to realize a few things about the things that I have. And that's where we come into our points here this morning. Okay, so let's look at this. Number one, we have to understand that it all belongs to God. Okay, so let's think about this. Everything that you have, do you really truly believe deep down in your heart and in your soul that the things that you have came from God? That's a struggle. I know, we can say, yes, I believe it. So why is it so hard for us to put it into practical application? We all have been blessed. Every good thing, every good and perfect gift comes from God. That's what his word says. So if we understand this, we have to be able to say, this is all God's. Job in the Old Testament, remember him? Remember all of the terrible things that he went through? And you know what he says? He says this about God. He says, blessed is the Lord because he gives and he takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord, because he understood this principle. He understood that it was, wow, God is my sustainer in life. He is the one that allows me to have so much. Everything that you have and everything that you are is because of Almighty God. You know, Jesus taught this principle. Did you know that? He taught this principle in a parable in Luke chapter 19. Do you remember the parable of the minas? Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this is what I love. I love how the Old Testament ties together with the New Testament, and you see these pictures of repeated instruction for us, right? So here, Jesus is talking about this parable, and he says, oh, there was an honorable man. He was an honorable landowner, and he had three servants. And what did he do? He took a mina, and he gave a mina to each of his servants. Well, two of the servants, oh, what they did with it is they said, oh, my master has entrusted me with this. I'm going to go and invest it. I'm going to do some great work with this. And I'm going to see that I can bring back something for him above and beyond what he gave me. I want to be a good steward. I want to be a good servant. So those two, they go and they invest in this, invest in that, and then they come back and their master comes back and he's like, so how'd it go, guys? I gave you some money to invest and take care of while I was gone. How did it go? And two of them are like, oh, Lord, I brought back an increase in this. Master, I did this because I knew it was the right thing to do. Then the other one says, oh, yes, I didn't bring back as much as him, but I made an increase here, and this is a good thing. And then the other one comes and says, but Master, I was so afraid that I took the mina that you gave me, and I shoved it under my pillow, and I just hid it away because I didn't want there to be any loss. And he goes, what? I gave that to you. Even if there had been loss, you would have at least done something there. See the difference here? Look at this. You understand that this principle, and Jesus is talking about this, he's saying, I want you to understand that all that you have, all of the resources, really don't belong to you. Because we have the jobs that we have, because God blessed them with us. Because we live in the houses that we live in, because God blessed us with them. The house that Liz and I live with, we moved from this place in Lake Forest that was kind of trashy. It was a bad condominium complex, and the people who lived there before, they just treated the place horribly, okay? So there was, and it was painted terribly. The kitchen was like this funky mint green. Every time you went in there, you kind of got a headache. It's like, oh, gosh, this place. Yeah. And so we moved from that place down to this other place. Well, we were at the Relay for Life, and I found this place on Zillow or something like that. And I was like, oh, look at this place. Oh, let's go check it out. Let's go. And so we finished with the Relay one day, and we went and we talked to the lady who owned the house. And we showed up at the house, and we're like, hey, we're in our Relay for Life shirts. We're like, hey, how you doing? We're all sweaty and nasty. This is, okay, so these are the people that want to rent my house? No. So we walk in and we knock on the door. And the lady answers the door. She's an elderly lady, and she's like, oh, hi, how are you? And we're like, hi, we're coming to look at your place. And she's like, oh, come on in. And we walk in, and her mother had just 2 months before passed away from cancer. And so we're wearing our Relay for Life, fight back, end cancer. That's all over us. So we're like standing there, and she's like, oh, my goodness, what do your shirts say? We're like, oh, we just came from Relay for Life. We have a team that we do this every year, and it's just great. We as a church, we say we fight back against cancer. And she's like, oh, my goodness, not only am I a Christian, but my mom just passed of cancer, and man. And it was just like that. We got that place. And it was like, man, really? See, we only got that because it was God who gave it to us. We understand that. We get it. God, you totally worked that out. That wouldn't have worked out otherwise. It just wouldn't have. So God gives us things so that we can use them wisely. He gives us opportunities in life to see him at work and understand, just like the parable of the servants and the minas, that right there, we have to understand all that we have is because he gave it to us. So let me tell you how this works out. There are many groups in this building or at this church that use these buildings week to week. We have activities here. We have classes here. We have clinics here. We have all kinds of things happening here. Do you know that? And so for us, we look at this and we go, well, hey, God wants to use this church to touch the community in a practical way. And you know what? Many of those groups, whether they be HA meetings, Narnon meetings, kid activities for kids, clinics, education for parents, all of those things, we do those things for the most part free for people. Because we recognize the fact that this is God's church. And so we open up our doors and we say, God, use this facility. But what does that do to the electric bill? Here's where it comes out, right? What does it do? It makes the electric bill, summer's coming, air conditioning is going to go on, you know, all those things. In the practical way, we say, God, you want us to be good stewards of that. You want us to use the church buildings for ministry. You want us to do that. So God, you're going to have to provide. You're going to have to provide for those needs. Well, we understand that when we let people use this facility and it's for the community and we're reaching into this community and we want people to understand that Christ died for them, that God loves them, when we want that for them, then we recognize this as a stewardship thing. We've got to be good stewards of what we have here. God's going to take care of it. But I think about the stuff that we're willing to surrender. Because God wants us to be able to say, you know what? We want to continue to do outreach in this community. This church, the church, runs at a deficit every month. It just does. It's been that way for a long time. The preschool, the after school, all these other things, they kind of feed into it. But that's not really the way that it should be. It should be that the people of the church, we understand that it's the church here, but it's the people of the church that recognize the scope of the ministry and go, I'm willing to invest in that. I'm willing to give God back some of what he's given me. So that is called stewardship. Everything here came from God. Next thing, we must resist selfishness. Oh, this is interesting. I'm selfish sometimes. How about you? I am. I'll admit it. I don't want to sit up here in a glass tower and say, wow, look at all these people. They're so selfish. No, I'm selfish too. I am. But I read this week, and it made me think. It actually made me go, oh, gosh, if I could only have said something like this myself, if I believed it. This is Mother Teresa, and this is what she said. You have to give until it hurts, she says. If you only give what you can do without, then you haven't really given anything. That's an amazingly powerful statement. Now, why is it painful when we give? It's painful because it involves detachment. Detachment from our stuff. Even our schedules sometimes need to be detached to serve God's kingdom. I see this big time when it comes to midweek Bible studies, because sometimes it's hard to be able to say to some people, you know, how come I don't see you on Thursday night at our Bible study? And they're like, oh gosh, we're just so busy. We've got so many things going on. You know, sometimes it requires us to be able to say, I'm willing to detach my schedule right now and say, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? It's an important part of being a believer is understanding that God is going to work through the things in our lives. And he does that when we spend time in his presence. We spend time with other godly people. He just does that. But we've got to resist that idea of selfishness. In this story, remember the guy named Barnabas at the end? The last verse, when he talks about Barnabas, what did Barnabas do? He came and he said, I've got this piece of land. Well, I'm wondering what I should do with this land. And he had just come to know Christ probably previous to that, not long before that. And he's looking at his land. He's like, oh, you know what would go good here? Nice field. Oh, a field of wheat or a field of something here. And maybe it would bring me a profit. Maybe we could plant this thing and use this. Oh, man, this piece of property is rich, and I could really make some money off this. Oh, no, wait, what if I do this? I'm getting ready to retire. Maybe what I do is I build a beautiful retirement home for myself. Oh, wouldn't that be great to be able to come to the place where I just say, oh, my beautiful land has been transformed into where I will spend the rest of my life in retirement. He could have thought those things. He could have. But instead, he said, man, there are so many people in need in this church. I don't know. Maybe what I need to do is that I need to put a for sale sign out on the lawn and see what happens. Maybe he was testing God on it, saying, God, if nobody wants to come and buy the property, then I'll just do what I want with it, right? Could be that. But he put that for sale sign out there, and he sold it, and he said, wow, God just showed me what I'm supposed to do with this. So he brought those offerings to the apostles. He laid them at their feet, and they were like, whoa, incredible. See, Barnabas, his name means the son of encouragement. But if you look at this, you have to be able to say, wow, this is an incredible thing that he did here. Because he recognized the need in his community, and he gave to help that. So the clear teaching here in Scripture reminds us that among the fellowship of believers that were there in that first century church, they all were there and they were letting go of selfishness. And they were seeing the need in people. I know that when we drive down the street here in San Clemente, plenty of homeless people here in town. Plenty. We see that there's a need. We know that there's mental illness, that there's drug addiction, that there's broken marriages, that there's all of these things. Do you know that it is the church's responsibility to help people that find themselves in that position? We are the last hope of this world, the church is. I believe that wholeheartedly. We are the last hope. Not just this church. I'm saying the church as a whole. We are the last great hope because where Jesus is, he wants to change people's lives. And so we want Jesus to be here. So we've got to let go of the idea of, oh, well, these things are mine and I want to have these things. We need to recognize that this stuff belongs to God and I don't want to keep it for myself. The last thing here this morning is we need to rely on Christ. We need to rely on him to meet our needs. Do you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said this in Philippians. He said, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches and glory in Jesus Christ." The one word that stands out for me right here is, "My God shall supply all." All. There's this old pastor joke. It's way, way, way overdone, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you know what all means? All means all, and that's all means. That's it. That's it. Simple as that. All. God's going to take care of us. He's going to meet our needs. He wants to give us the security that we need so that when we're fearful about having something taken away from us, God says, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That if it's something that you need, not want, something that you need, it's not going to be taken from you. I like that. He's going to meet our needs. Jesus said, you don't even have to worry about it at all. Do you remember when he talked about the birds of the air? Do you remember that? It must have seemed funny to the disciples that he's like, oh, look at that bird. Wow, look at that bird. So they're there, and they're kind of tripping out about all this stuff. So they're having a problem, and he looks at them, and he says, so let me ask you a question. Does that bird ever have need of anything? And the disciples are like, well, no, he's a bird and he can fly. I mean, if I was Superman, I think I'd be doing all right, right? But he's saying, look, that bird doesn't have a need. Don't you think that God values you more than the bird of the air? Don't you think that? Don't you know that in your heart, that God values us more? So then the question is, why do we stress out so much? Why? Have you ever seen a bird have a mental breakdown? Cuckoo bird, yeah. I can honestly say that I've never heard, well, I mean, I've got some crazy crows outside of my house. Maybe they're having a mental breakdown. I don't know. That sound that they make is, drives me crazy, that's for sure. So no, birds don't have mental breakdowns. They don't have anxiety. They don't have any of those things. Why? Because all of their needs are taken care of by the God who created them. If it's true for the birds, then how can we doubt that that's what God promises to us? It promises in his word. So here, when we understand these things about God, when we understand those things, it makes it so much easier to be a radical giver. It really does. When we understand that it all belongs to God anyway. We need to let go of this whole selfishness thing and understand that the example of the early church was to give, to take care of each other. And that we would be in a place where we say, man, I'm just going to rely on God. He has got this. I've got to trust and rely on Christ to meet my needs. Now, if we understand these things, it makes it easier. So let me pose this to you, okay? I'm going to do this in closing here. Who do you think is going to be most remembered? Let me name a few names, okay? Tell me who you think, and you could shout it out, okay? Who do you think is going to be most remembered? Mother Teresa or George Clooney? Who made more of an impact on society? Helen Keller or Kobe Bryant? Who do you think is going to have a greater legacy? Brad Pitt or Martin Luther King? King. Why? Why? Because those people understood what it meant to give. They gave of themselves. They gave sacrificially. These people on this list, I look at this and I say, wow, these people were radical in their idea of how God would take care of them, and they would just continue to give of their time, their talents, their treasure, all of those things. You see this. And so I don't know about you, but I look at this and I say, I don't want to be selfish with my time. I don't want to be selfish with my talents, and I definitely don't want to be selfish with my treasure. I want God to transform my thinking in all of those areas so that we can see, wow, God wants to do something amazing through this church community in this little beach community. He wants to radically change the lives of people through us. He wants to do that. We surrender unto Him. We understand that it's all about Him, and all of the things that we have are because of Him, and we can radically change what happens in this community. Do you know that? I have to say that this church is one of the busiest churches in the community. It just is. There is a lot of stuff happening. Pastor Pondo is on a blazing trail with COA to do things in this community that have not been done. They haven't. And he's making sacrifices to do that. He is. And I commend him for that, because that takes a lot to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to put my money or my time or my talents where my mouth is. I'm going to actually do something about it. That is the heart of this church, that we're actually going to do something, that we're not going to be willing to sit back and say, no more, we'll just let everybody else handle it. No, no. That's not this church. Our heart is to be able to reach out to those people who are lost and hurting and not hold back anything. Not hold back anything. You know, the beauty is what set up this scripture was the miracle. You remember the miracle? Peter and John, they were going to the temple. They were going to pray. And the man was there. And they said, silver and gold I have not, but what I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And he rose up. He stood up and he walked. The greatest gift that they could give that man was his legs and his ability to walk. Man, sometimes we hold back. What if Peter and John had held back? I'll tell you this, that if you get a bunch of people together that believe and live out this type of thinking, there will be a radical change in this community. You know that? So my encouragement is we become these people. That we become more of these people. I know there are some great things happening here. A lot of people involved. A lot of people giving. But here, I just want to say, as we grow, as the church is going into this new place where we have such a presence in this community, my encouragement is, God wants to do radical things through this church. I believe that. I believe that it's not just the status quo, that God wants us to love people in a radical way. He wants us to show grace to people in a radical way. And he wants us to care for the needs of people in a radical way. He wants to do that. So we come to this passage of scripture here. Wow. What does the giver in me look like? What does the giver in me look like? It's a great question to end on. Let's pray together. Lord, we come here today and your word speaks volumes to us. Just a few verses, Lord, but you give us this I don't even know what to call it. You give us this encouragement. You give us these verses to push us maybe into a little bit of an uncomfortable area, but God, you want to bless the people of this community, and I know that you want to use your church to do that. So, God, I pray that you would continue to provide for every need of the church, that you would do more, God, through us. that you would multiply the funds that come in here into this church. But Lord, we just want to say, we're just humble servants. We just want to produce some sort of above and beyond what you give us. So Lord, would you multiply those funds? Would you help us as a church, as we all have time and talents, would you help us to use those for your kingdom in a greater way, that we would sacrifice a bit more to be able to serve you and love you, God, and that other people would see you in us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning,